Dobro jutro, prečudoviti ljudje. Globoko vdihnite in ponavljajte za menoj. Jebeš genocidno apartheidsko državo Izrael, svobodo okupirani palestinski zemlji in ljudem, večno trpljenje vsem vojnim zločincem, Trumpu, Netanjahuju, von der Leyen, Macronu, Starmerju, Sanchezu in Golobu. Jebeš vse svetovne voditelje in njihovo namerno neodzivnost, medtem ko morijo naše sestre in brate. Ni osvoboditve za enega brez svobode za vse. Zato osvobodimo Kongo, osvobodimo Sudan, osvobodimo Libanon, osvobodimo Sirijo, osvobodimo Palestino. V oddaji 15 minut proti genocidu z vami delimo zgodbe o boju za svobodno Palestino.
Danes je 858. dan genocida in 79. leto okupacije v Palestini.
When governments betray the most basic human values, it is upon us to fix it. We, the people, stop waiting, organize, protest. Change will come through. Palestine will be free.
Koščki mozaika solidarnosti s palestinskim ljudstvom, lokalno in drugod.
AIS je 21. januarja in 2. februarja z luksuznim letalom v lasti bogataša Gila Dizerja, dolgoletnega prijatelja Trumpa, ameriške državljane deportiral v Tel Aviv. Preiskava časopisa Guardian je ugotovila, da sta bila leta del tajne in politično občutljive operacije ameriške vlade za izgon palestincev na Zahodni breg. Med januarsko deportacijo so bili ameriški palestinci na letalu uklenjeni, na letališču jih je pričakala skupina izraelskih varnostnikov, nato pa so jih oboroženi stražarji odpeljali na kontrolno točko blizu vasi Nilin na Zahodnem bregu. Tam so jih pustili na mrazu v zaporniških trenirkah in zgolj z nekaj osebnimi stvarmi v plastičnih vrečkah. Med deportiranimi so bili ameriški palestinci, ki so se v ZDA rodili in tam odraščali. Drugi so si v Ameriki ustvarili družine in imajo otroke z ameriškim državljanstvom.
Ameriško podjetje za odzivanje na nesreče Gotham's LLC je v procesu dogovarjanja z Belo hišo, da bi si zagotovilo 7-letni monopol nad novim načrtom za tovorni promet in logistiko za Trumpov tako imenovani odbor za mir v Gazi. Načrt bi podjetju Gotham's LLC zagotovil 300-odstotni dobiček in zaračunavanje uporabe njegovega skladiščnega in distribucijskega sistema. Podjetje je sicer znano po oskrbovanju razvpitega zapora ICE na jugu Floride, imenovanega Alligator Alcatraz.
Po zadnjih poročilih je Izrael poleg Trumpa med največkrat omenjenimi temami v nazadnje objavljenih Epsteinovih dosjejih. Dokumenti, ki jih je objavil FBI, med drugim razkrivajo, da je vplivni milijarder, pedofil ter trgovec z ljudmi in otroki, Jeffrey Epstein, finančno podpiral judovski nacionalni sklad, ki vlaga v sionistične naselbine in izraelsko vojsko. Dosjeji razkrivajo tudi dolgoletno prijateljstvo z bivšim izraelskim premijejem Ehudom Barakom, ki je državo vodil med letoma 1999 in 2001.
V soboto je na ulice Milana stopilo na tisoče protestnikov, ki so ob začetku zimskih olimpijskih iger protestirali proti udeležbi Izraela, ki je v Gazi pomoril 800 palestinskih športnikov, prisotnosti agentov ICE v mestu in olimpijskim igram nasploh. Protestni slogani in transparenti so opozarjali na nevzdržne politike mesta, v katerem rastejo najemniški stroški in neenakost. K protestu je pozval odbor za netrajnostne olimpijske igre ali Unsustainable Olympics Committee, ki je mobiliziral široko koalicijo študentov, družin, propalestinskih mrež, okoljskih skupin, aktivistov za stanovanske pravice in sindikatov. Policija je na protest odgovorila z nasiljem in aretacijami, protestne bakle in pirotehniko pa pogasila z vodnim topom in solzivcem.
V petek 6. februarja so delavci in delavke v 21 pristaniščih po Sredozemlju izvedli 24-urno mednarodno stavko proti vojni in militarizaciji pristanišč. Akcija predstavlja nadaljevanje povezovanja in mobilizacije delavcev v solidarnosti s Palestino in proti uporabi pristanišč za logistično podporo vojnim strojem. Delavci so protestirali tudi proti privatizaciji in militarizaciji pristaniške infrastrukture. Na čelu akcije so bili tudi tokrat sindikati iz Italije, Grčije, Turčije, Baskije in Maroka, ki so zavrnili nakladanje, razkladanje ali prevoz vojaškega tovora, namenjenega izraelskim pristaniščem, vključno z Ašodom in Haifo. Stavko so predvsem v Italiji spremljali tudi protesti študentov in drugih družbenih gibanj. Več ladij, ki so prevažale orožje za Izrael, je bilo primoranih spremeniti svoje poti. Luka Koper je medtem delovala normalno.
Istočasno so 6. februarja v znak solidarnosti s stavkajočimi ter ljudmi v Gazi izraelski aktivisti simbolno prerezali ograjo na meji z Gazo. Izraelska policija se je na akcijo odzvala z nasiljem in aretacijami.
Pred nekaj dnevi so trije protestniki zasedli avlo zavarovalnice Aspen Insurance v Londonu. Zahtevali so, da zavarovalniška družba preneha zavarovanje največjega proizvajalca orožja v Izraelu Elbit Systems, ki sta ga zaradi pritiska v stranih direktnih akcij že prenehali zavarovati Allianz in Aviva. Dve mlajši osebi, od tega ena na invalidskem vozičku in starejši gospod, so simbolno akcijo pokazali, da lahko pravico do protesta in blokade izvajamo vsi in da lahko, če tudi v majhnem številu, pokažemo odločnost pri boju in boju proti vojnim dobičkarjem.
Britanska porota je prejšnji teden izrekla oprostilno sodbo za prvih 6 od 24 obtožencev v primeru Filton, kjer so aktivisti Palestine Action udrli v tovarno Elbit Systems in poškodovali drone, namenjene za pobijanje Palestink in Palestincev. Po razglasitvi sodbe, na katero so aktivisti v zaporu čakali 18 mesecev, je britansko državno tožilstvo napovedalo, da bo zahtevalo ponovno sojenje, čeprav obtožencem ne more ponovno soditi glede obtožbe, za katero so bili oproščeni. Kljub temu, da je pot do osvoboditve vseh zaprtih dolga, pa razsodba pomeni zmago za Palestine Action in samo strategijo direktne akcije.
Globalna flotilja Sumud je v četrtek napovedala, da bo v marcu v Gazo odplulo več kot 100 ladij z več kot 1000 aktivisti, med njimi zdravniki in preiskovalci vojnih zločinov.
Why won't your organization engage in peace talks with the Israelis?
You don't mean exactly peace talks, you mean capitulation, surrendering.
Why not just talk?
Talk to whom?
Talk to the Israeli leaders.
That's kind of conversation between the sword and the neck, you mean?
Palestine! Free! Free! Palestine! Free! Free! Palestine!
Tudi, kadar se ti poskušajo skriti, komentiramo in analiziramo vojne dobičkarje in sodelavce genocida ter njihove krvave podvige.
Perspektive gibanja za svobodno Palestino. V osrednjem delu sledijo izseki pogovora s Petrom Gelderlosom, ameriškim anarhistom, tovarišem in avtorjem mnogih knjig, ki je sledil njegovemu obisku in infokafani Borba za spomin, borba za preživetje.
V nadaljevanju delimo razmisleke o tem, kaj lahko sodobno gibanje črpa iz izkušenj gibanja proti vojni v Iraku leta 2003 in boja proti apartheidu v Južni Afriki o solidarnosti, ter kaj so potencialne pasti množičnih gibanj, na katere smo lahko pozorni na primeru gibanja za svobodno Palestino iz Združenih držav Amerike.
Thank you.
I think one of the most important lessons to learn from the 2003 anti-war protests around the world is what works and what doesn't work, and what we should expect from the institutions in power, governmental institutions and all of the private corporations that supply them with weaponry. So basically, you know, the military-industrial complex. It was the largest protest in human history, and in the vast majority of cities in which it occurred, it was actually completely nonviolent. And this is different from most of the histories that were told about nonviolence, which were actually not exclusively nonviolent movements, whether that's the independence movement in India, the movement against apartheid in South Africa, or the movement against racial segregation in the United States. This is a distortion, a manipulation that that those were nonviolent movements, because those were actually all movements in which there was a great diversity of tactics. So in this case, all of these people who had been brought up on this idea of nonviolence being effective, you can go back and see some of the articles. Protest organizers were predicting after the protests that the invasion of Iraq by, you know, US, the UK, a few other countries would be impossible because these protests were huge and because they were so nonviolent. So they felt that that gave them some moral power. The idea of a moral power in the face of the state is, it's a fiction. It's not real. Obviously, the US, the UK, they invaded Iraq, they murdered hundreds of thousands of people, and the only kinds of actions that made a big difference with regards to that was the resistance of the Iraqi people themselves, some of them, you know, motivated by more liberatory ideologies, others, unfortunately, you know, motivated by, you know, pre-existing authoritarian ideologies. And then secondly, there were a few places where there were port blockade actions stopping the shipment of weaponry. And I mean, militaries really do require effective logistics for resupply. And so if that had spread, then that would have, you know, seriously hampered the US war against Iraq. What's stopping that genocide would require, and then understanding, you know, the history of effective solidarity movements, we can actually look to the movement against the apartheid regime in South Africa, especially since, I mean, both South Africa at the time and you know, Israel today are both white supremacist states. They're both states based on a form of segregation or apartheid, with the difference that Israel is, you know, has the clear and stated goal of you know, eliminating or removing all Palestinians, where of course the white led government of apartheid South Africa had the intention of you know, maintaining a black population, but in, you know, miserable, disempowered conditions as like a labor force. So there were a number of boycotts against major corporations that were doing business with South Africa. And, you know, everyone has to make their own decisions, you know, in terms of what types of tactics, you know, they feel comfortable using. Everyone should get acquainted with, you know, the laws of their own country, since, you know, of course, we can't advocate doing anything illegal, and you know, doing anything illegal, if you get caught, comes with consequences. But it's important to, if we're interested, you know, from a theoretical standpoint or what have you, of understanding which sabotage tactics were most effective, you can compare basically just boycotts, which did get some major banks, for example, to divest from South Africa. It took years and years and years of pressure and protest, whereas there were other campaigns that used, you know, forms of sabotage and things like this to cause immediate and major financial damage against the company in question, and those companies tended to pull out more quickly. What one of the two most important things, I think, is getting major companies to stop investing in Israel or making weapons for Israel. The second most important thing, together with, like, you know, boycotts and, you know, related tactics, I think, is supporting Palestinians, both in Palestine and in the diaspora. So one thing is getting in contact with Palestinian communities that may be living in exile in our areas, and finding out what kinds of support they need. And another thing would be, you know, when possible, you know, and there is already, like, a tradition and a structure in place for making solidarity trips to Palestine, particularly the West Bank. But just to make sure that when we do that, we're not just going as an individual for some sort of, like, well-intentioned, you know, radical adventure tourism, but that we're doing as much as possible to talk about it with the movements that we participate in, with, you know, our friends and the people that we trust, and even our family members, you know, who might be worried about us, you know, going to a high conflict zone. And then the protest movement is, you know, it's clearly necessary. It's a really good thing that, you know, people are taking the streets and you know, making visible that, you know, that there's a genocide occurring and that that's unacceptable. But it's also been very difficult because in many places, there's, you know, these various sects of, like, the authoritarian left that... most of what they do is, like, recruit and organize protests so they can continue to recruit, and they do very little that's substantive. I mean, it's a very party-focused model that's just focused on, like, you know, increasing the size of their organization. But that does mean that they, you know, they have, like, an apparatus that's always ready to go that can very quickly produce solidarity protests that they do their best to control. And it makes it very difficult for protests to transform into something stronger, more forceful. And I'm, like, I'm talking about, you know, groups like, you know, there's one called, like, you know, the Party for Socialism and Liberation that has, like, a very, you know, simplistic analysis, and you know, they're, you know, operate often like a cult, or, you know, engage in, like, snitching behavior, or, like, get people arrested by, like, sharing false information about, you know, risk levels, and then, like, claim them as, you know, sort of, like, you know, martyrs, or, you know, just very manipulative kind of tactics. But, you know, one thing that we want to make sure that we're not doing is, like, having these, like, open fights within a solidarity movement against a genocide, and you know, that would require, like, more act, like, proactive building of relationships of solidarity, building of relationships with you know, political organizations in Palestinian communities in diaspora and exile.
No one wants to say it, so I'm gonna say it. Boycotts don't work.
Sabotage does. Instead of not buying Coca-Cola, go open them all up.
Pridruži se boju za svobodno Palestino.
Kot vsak četrtek bo tudi ta teden ob 17. uri na Prešernovem trgu spet potekalo ulično branje palestinske poezije.
V četrtek 12.2. jutri bo ob 18. uri v predavalnici 15 na Filozofski fakulteti potekala okrogla miza Iran, upor, država, vojna. Govora bo o zgodovinskih okoliščinah pred in po revoluciji leta 1979, ki so odločilno vplivale na aktualno politično realnost. Poseben poudarek bo na notranjih dinamikah oziroma na odnosu med državo in njenimi institucijami na eni ter družbo na drugi strani.
Cankarjev dom napoveduje cikel pogovorov, katero umazano delo je Izrael opravil za vse nas in kdo smo mi, ki jih bo vodil novinar časopisa Dnevnik Ervin Hladnik Milharčič. Termine dogodkov in brezplačne vstopnice lahko najdete na povezavi pod oddajo.
V petek in soboto vabljeni na predstavitev in razpravo s tovarišem iz Federacije neodvisnih samoorganiziranih delovskih sindikatov FAU v petek ob 20. uri v A-Infoshopu in v soboto ob 18. uri na placu. Govora bo o izkušnjah iz delovskih bojev, samoorganiziranja na delovnih mestih ter o izzivih, s katerimi se sindikati soočajo v današnjih razmerah. Vabljeni.
Izraelska okupacijska vojska je v zračnih napadih v zadnjem tednu v Gazi ubila najmanj 21 palestink in palestincev, med njimi tudi otroke. Od oktobra lani, ko se je začelo veljati tako imenovano premirje, je izraelska tvorba ubila več kot 500 palestink in palestincev. Za vse umorjene v genocidu sledi minuta tišine.
Po minuti tišine za vse ubite v genocidu sledi komad z naslovom The Urgent Call of Palestine palestinsko-egiptovske glasbenice Zainab Shad iz leta 1972. Proti koncu skladbe slišimo govoriti Kamala Naserja, palestinskega voditelja in pesnika, ki so ga leta 1973 umorile izraelske posebne enote.
Palestinians who lost everything, they are ready to do anything to save their country. We do not fight for the sake of fighting. We do not want war for the sake of war. But we want the world to know that we have a cause We are 1.5 million refugees living in the camps. 1 million refugees living under occupation. Our mothers, our sisters, our families. We have been attacked brutally by a savage movement called Zionism. We have to reveal this movement to the whole world. And we basically differentiate between Jews and Zionists. We hope to save the Jews from the Zionists and make a Palestinian democratic state where we can live with the Jews in peace and in love.
Pravila ekipa 15 minut. Novice in komentarje za objavo v oddaji lahko pošljete na naslov 15.minutaf na radiostudent.si.